We're going to be in 1 Kings 11. So 1 Kings 11. Lord willing, we can, as we go through these different kings, we're going to look at King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, tonight. But that we don't just forget about these other people, and we can keep in our mind all these kings, and you know, if we study some, and we could have if we think of Rehoboam, we can remember that was a man who he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Well, that's what we can remember about Rehoboam, the son of David, or the son of Solomon. He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And we can remember about Solomon. He was wise and he was rich, but he got into all these wives and they led him to other gods at the end of his time. We remember about David before him. He was a man after God's own heart. We can remember about Saul, the first king of Israel, that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. And Saul looked like a king. He was everything. He was strong, he was tall, he was whatever. But God looks on the heart and he chose David, just a shepherd boy. So we got Saul, David, Solomon. And then Solomon, when he died, Rehoboam became king. But then very quickly, this kingdom was split. And we had Rehoboam, and it was split with Judah under Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was the first king of the Israel, what we call them, the northern kingdom. So in 1 Kings, we're in 11, verse 9. 1 Kings 11, verse 9 is where we'll start tonight. This is when Solomon is still alive. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But Solomon kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. So there's a prophecy. God is telling him, I'm going to take this, tear it away from you, and give it to your servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So God said, because of Solomon's disobedience, going after these other gods, that he's going to give all but one tribe to a servant of Solomon's. Not going to do it during Solomon's life, but in Solomon's son's reign. So that takes us to 1 Kings 11, verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant. Remember, he was going to give his kingdom to his servant. This is Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman. So Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was raised, it seems like, by just his mother. They talk about his mother being a widow woman. Even this man, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. So Solomon was doing this work in this town of Millo. And in verse 28, the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon saw the young man, that he was industrious. So he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. So Solomon saw Jeroboam working hard. And he was industrious. So Solomon said, You be my servant and I'm going to put you over all the house of Joseph. But what happens then, in the next verses, as Jeroboam, who's to this point has done nothing wrong, Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he's walking out in the field, he's got this new cloak on, a nice new coat. He sounds a lot like Joseph so far, doesn't he? He was industrious, so Solomon put him over more, gave him more power, more authority. He was over the house of Joseph. He had a new coat. And then this prophet comes up and says, Jeroboam, and he takes this coat, this new coat, and rips it into 12 pieces. And he gives 10 of these pieces to Jeroboam and says, This is the prophecy. You're going to be the king and you're going to get 10 of these nations, 10 of these tribes of Israel. So this prophet, and Jeroboam's done nothing to provoke this so far. He's just been industrious. And so he's going to get 10 of these. And then he says in verse 38, we go to 1 Kings 11, verse 38. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken to all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee." And so he tells him, if you would follow me, Jeroboam son of Nebat, the prophet tells him, you know, I'll take care of you and I'm going to watch over you. So there is the prophecy. Now Solomon, 1 Kings 11, verse 38. So God tells him through the prophet that he will be with him. Now this prophecy where this prophet came and tore these things in 12 pieces, we don't see, we don't know, but somehow Solomon heard of this. Maybe Jeroboam went around telling it, kind of like Joseph did. You know, or maybe Jeroboam, maybe this prophet made it known. But somehow Solomon heard it. So in verse 40, Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. So Solomon's thinking, this own man that I raised up from nothing and put him in charge of these people, now he's going to be the next king for my son. He knows the prophecy that it's going to be one of his own servants is going to rise up and take it, ten of these tribes, and so he seeks to kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam arises and fled into Egypt, okay, unto Shishak, the king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. So we get Jeroboam, the prophecy of Jeroboam's life. Jeroboam knows now he's going to be king over 10 of these tribes. So in verse 2 of chapter 12, it comes to pass that now Rehoboam becomes king. We looked at this last week. Solomon dies, Rehoboam's the new king. So Jeroboam hears this and he's in Egypt. And he says, hey, I'm going to come back. Solomon's not going to kill me anymore. And so he comes back up to Israel. And all the people gather around Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and they come up with Jeroboam, probably in the lead, probably the spokesperson, and they say, Rehoboam, you know, we want you to treat us nicer than your father did. Remember, we talked about that last week. And they said, you know, do this. And so Rehoboam thinks about it, and he goes with poor advice. And he says, no, because you asked that, not only am I going to not treat you better, I'm going to treat you worse. You know, and so he's being this heavy-handed king, Rehoboam is. And so Jeroboam and all these people with him rebel. So we come to verse 19, 1 Kings 12, verse 19. It says, and so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And this was of the Lord. The Lord, he made Rehoboam say, you know, harden his heart on this kind of thing. And so it was split. And Rehoboam, he had the kingdom rent from him. And 10 of these tribes rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Verse 20, and it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. So Jeroboam was made king now. Just like the prophecy said, just like the prophet had said. So Jeroboam, we come to verse 25. Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So everything's going good for Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So far he's doing fine, but in his heart he thought and he said, everybody's going to return back to Rehoboam. Because if we have all the religious ceremonies taking place in Jerusalem, if we have the feast and the Passover, and they're always going back to Jerusalem, their heart's going to be turned back to Jerusalem and Judah and Rehoboam. And that's what he says in verse 27. And so we see the seeds of Jeroboam, of his sin, starts to be because he's thinking he's going to lose his power. But what had God told him? That as long as he does what's right, his seed and his family is going to be taken care of. They're going to be kings of Israel for the foreseeable future, is what we read. But he starts to worry that he's going to lose some power. So we see what he does in verse 28. Whereupon the king, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, took counsel. So he listened to some people. And he made two calves of gold. And he said unto the people, unto them, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods. And so he said, you don't need to take that long trip to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So he had two golden calves and said, these are the gods that brought you up out of Egypt. And he set one at Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And so this was the beginning. This was the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, because he didn't want to lose his kingdom, because he wanted this power. He set up gods, set up false gods, lied about these gods, made the people worship these false gods. Even in verse 31, he made a house of high places. This is like 2 weeks ago, we talked about Ashtaroth and all these Baal and all these things. They had these high places and these groves. And he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. Pretty clear, we're reading through Exodus and Leviticus, that it has to be Levites that are the priests. Levites have to be the one doing the sacrificing. But he said, no. Jeroboam makes his own rules now. Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that's in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. So he just makes up his own holidays and says, we're going to do it on the 15th day of the eighth month. 15th day of the first month was Passover. And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So we see Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, just making his own religion now. Turning Israel away from the true God, turning him to these false gods, making his own days, making his own priests. We see what Jeroboam's up to. All right, now we come to 13. This is amazing. Chapter 13. So, and behold, there came a man of God. And this is what this guy's known as the whole time, is the man of God. There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. So Jeroboam's there, and he's burning the incense. And we'll see later that Jeroboam, he started doing the priest job too. He wanted in on this. So he's doing the priest job. This man of God comes to Bethel where these golden calves are, and he sees Jeroboam burning incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, O altar. This is the man of God saying this. O altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. So we know the name of this child is going to be Josiah. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. So this man Josiah is going to take these priests that Jeroboam son of Nebat had ordained to burn to these on these high places, these false priests, and they're going to be burnt on their own altars by a man named Josiah. He's of the house of David, so he's going to be a king of Judah, and he's going to come burn these priests' bones upon these same altars. That's the prophecy right there. And the Lord even gave a sign that day to show that this prophecy is going to come true. He gave a sign the same day saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar saying, lay hold upon him. So you can just see this man pointing out saying, lay hold upon that man of God. Right? He's not going to put up with these kind of prophecies. So he puts out his hand and says, lay hold upon him, and his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. So the strength dried up, the hand withered, his arm, however this worked. He could not pull his arm back in, so it's just withered, and it's out there. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat's arm. And at that time, the altar was rent, just like God said would happen. And the ashes were poured out from the altar, just like God said would happen, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. I mean, Jeroboam's seeing some amazing signs right here. All of a sudden, the altar's broken half. These ashes are poured out. His arm's withered. He can't even pull it back. I mean, this is some serious stuff. Jeroboam's seeing this thing. And so, the king, Jeroboam, answered and he said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me. So now he's asking this man to pray for him, that my hand may be restored me again. So the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So God withers his hand, turns it back to normal, The thing's been rent. The ashes poured out. All these signs given to Jeroboam. It's time for him to repent, right? I mean, this should be proof for Jeroboam, son of Nebat. You think he will? We'll see. And so the king said to this man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. So he invites him home with him. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I would not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. So no matter what you give me, I'm not going to go in your house. Because, it says in verse 9, it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So he wouldn't even eat with Jeroboam, but Jeroboam's seen all these things. And there's pretty interesting on what happens to that man of God after he leaves here. We're going to skip that because we're talking about Jeroboam, son of Nebat. But that man gets slain by a lion. The man of God, though, that said this about Josiah, in 2 Kings 23, we're talking almost at the time of Daniel. About 200 and some years in the future, there's a king, Josiah, that comes and he sees this high place and he takes all these prophets' bones out of these caves, these sepulchers, and he burns them, just like it was prophesied. And then there's a cave, and he said, who's in there? And it says something about, they say, oh, this is the man of God that got slain by the lion. And he said, don't burn his bones. So all this stuff was fulfilled by a man named Josiah 200 and some years later at the exact place, and these bones of these priests were burnt on that same altar they were offering to these false idols, these false gods. So again, I mean, this is amazing stuff. Predicted 200 some years in the future by name Josiah. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. Amen? Man, it's good. So, we come to Jeroboam, but right now you see all these signs that happened to Jeroboam. So maybe he's going to turn. So we come to verse 33. Isaiah, or 1 Kings 13, verse 33. After this thing, after this whole arm incident, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but he made again of the lowest people, of the people, the priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. You just had to come and ask to be a priest, and you were made a priest. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from the face of the earth. So Jeroboam did not turn, this Jeroboam son of Nebat. He caused Israel to sin, and we'll see that later on. This is what Jeroboam did. In chapter 14, we read more about Jeroboam. This man had a son that was sick, so he asked his wife, go to this prophet, the first prophet that tore his cloak in 12 pieces. He said, go to this man and see what's going to happen to my son. Now this old prophet was blind, but God told him it was Jeroboam's wife coming to him. And so he says, when she comes in, he says, Jeroboam's wife, what are you doing? Why are you dressed up trying to act like you're not Jeroboam's wife? But then he says, what is it, in verse 6 maybe? Verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. 14 verse 7, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and hast cast me behind thy back. So we see Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He did evil in the sight of the Lord because he made these gods. He caused Israel to sin. And so he also tells Jeroboam's wife, your son's going to die. And so when she left, in verse 17, Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. So all we really have left about Jeroboam's life is how he reigned and how he warred. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 13. I love how the Bible tells you, you know, the rest of the acts aren't, doesn't it say so in the Chronicles? So you go to Chronicles. And there it is. Sometimes we don't have the books that it says. It says like the book of Iddo or something. We don't have that. But we have the book of Chronicles. So 2 Chronicles 13 talks about how Jeroboam warred. And at the end of his reign, he was fighting against Judah. Against a king named Abijah, which we'll talk about probably next week. And Jeroboam's fighting against him. And we see now in verse 13. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 13. Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind him so that they were before Judah and the ambushment was behind him. So Jeroboam did a good thing. He surrounded Judah before and behind. He was going to ambush them from behind. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Now, are these the true priests? Yeah, this is Judah. Yeah, this isn't these false priests. These are the true priests of God, the Levites. They sounded with trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Now their army had 800,000. 500,000 of these men died that day of Jeroboam's army. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel, with the towns thereof, and Jeshana, with the towns thereof, and Ephraim, with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. That was, we see finally how he warred, and how he came, the Lord struck him, and he died. So Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, God gave him this chance, gave him all this stuff, but Jeroboam turned because he wanted his power, he wanted to, whatever it was, greed, human nature. He made another god, another religion. So what was his legacy? Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Go to 1 Kings again. Because when I think of Jeroboam, this man's mentioned a lot throughout 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Always goes back to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And does it say good things about him? No. 1 Kings 22, verse 52. Speaking about Ahaziah, the son of Ahab. 1 Kings 22, verse 52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So it talks about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. 2 Kings 3, verse 3, nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, and departed not therefrom. 2 Kings 10, verse 29, howbeit from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. And over and over and over, we read about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. That was his legacy. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So tonight, when I look at Jeroboam, what jumped out at me were two things. First, God gave him a chance, gave him a second chance. No matter, he made these golden calves, he did all this stuff, but God gave him a sign. When that man of God came, he withered his hand, he healed his hand. There was a chance for him to turn. And God gives us chances all the time. God has mercy on us, and he's long-suffering. Even with Jeroboam, son of Nebat. That's one thing I see. But the other thing is, he is the man mentioned over and over that caused Israel to sin. And his legacy was that he sent Israel down this path that led to them getting conquered in 722 BC by Assyria and never to return again. He led them down a path and led his kids down a path to where their blood was going to be licked up in the street by dogs, it says. That was his legacy. And so does it matter the choices we make towards the future? Does it matter if you're a father, if you're a mother, the choices you make for your legacy? Because we can have a legacy, a godly legacy, and we can be John Cleaver, the son of whatever your dad's name is, John, who did right in the sight of the Lord and who caused his children to walk on the side of the Lord and their children and their children. I mean, that's the legacy we want. I mean, we can start a legacy, and we see in these kings that no matter what somebody did up here, there's always a man that can turn back to the Lord. And no matter what your parents did, you're not stuck into these things. But we as parents, we do have a big influence. And more than likely, okay, God can do whatever he wants, but if we, you know, we allow ourselves to slip and we allow our family to slip, they're going to slip a little farther and a little farther, and we would be looked back on, not in a Bible, but in God's book, as a man that caused his family to sin, the man or the woman that turned and caused Israel to sin or caused his family to sin. We don't want to do that. So Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, I mean, when we talk about him, he's the man who made Israel to sin. That's what we can remember about this man here. So let's all work to get a godly legacy for our families and our generations. If the Lord does not return, you know, our legacies and our generations after us, and God can see that we turned towards Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You that we can teach and preach out of it, and we can learn so much from it. And Lord, I just ask that we can You can use this. I know we skimmed over so much in Jeroboam's life that we can learn from. But Lord, we just want to get a basis for Isaiah, and I ask that You can use this so we can know more about Your Word, we can apply more of it to our life, we can study to show ourselves approved in Your Word, Lord. So I pray these things and ask Your blessing on us tonight as we head home. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.